Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, we remember the passing away in this past year of Mr. Peter de Kock on May 7th, 2018, at the age of 95 years. Mr. Brian McEachern on July 21st, 2018, at the age of 62 years. And Mr. Christian Heikoop on December 2nd, 2018, at the age of 98 years. Let us sing Psalter 247, stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 6. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. 1, 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 247.
Thank you. the portion of God's Word that we wish to read this morning. You can find recorded in the Acts of the Apostles and are of the 24th chapter, Acts 24. And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called for, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation, by thy providence we accept it always, and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us for of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sects of the Nazarenes, who also had gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, "Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither rising up to people, neither in the synagogues, nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and having hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee and object, if they had aught against me. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried out, standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day." And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, "When Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter." And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul, and to let him have liberty, that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul, and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. and I see reason of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener, and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, long-suffering, and good-doing and gracious God, Thou who art upon Thy throne, and we hear upon Thy footstool, and we gather in this morning hour in a special service, that we may in the first place acknowledge Thee for all Thy sparing mercies over each and every one of us, and that we may ask of Thee Thy presence, Thy nearness, and Thy help when we have begun together a new season, a new year. For without Thee, we read in Thy Word, we can do nothing. And many are the labors of our hands, each one in our place in this world. But except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And therefore we come before Thee in this morning. We gather together with our children to supplicate Thy throne of grace, that Thou mayest look upon us for all of the needs that lie upon us in this year that we have entered, because there is none that is able to keep alive his own soul. But in the way of Thy providence, Thou dost uphold each and every one in our life to preserve us in our being and to grant the strength for every motion and every operation of our bodies and of our minds. And we are dependent upon Thee for all these things each and every moment. That we may be given so to feel it and to experience it, that we could not go forward for one day without Thee, that Thou may remember us as a congregation, as a consistory, that Thou may supply for all our needs as we are set over this flock. By Thy hand wilt Thou give to us wisdom, which we have not of ourselves, and wilt Thou give to us that grace that is necessary to go before others in the most holy duties, that Thou would strengthen us as Thy servant, that we may do our labors in the midst of our flock in the year that is to come, and that Thou may grant us that unction of Thy Holy Spirit, that we may receive what is necessary also to lead Thy people from step to step in the ways of Zion, that Thou wouldst remember the organists. Wilt Thou give to them what is necessary to lead the congregation in the singing of Thy praises in that most solemn manner, and that Thou would lead in the spiritual songs Thyself, that we may sing not only with our understanding, but that it may be drawn up by Thee out of the innermost recesses of our hearts. Remember thou our custodians. Wilt thou give to them the strength daily to do the labors in thy house, and that they may as helpers be assistants, that all things may be done decently and in order. Remember the ladies when they do gather also for their labors in the midst of the church. Oh, that thou may be near and dear also unto them, and that thou may help each one in the place that thou dost give in thy house of prayer. Remember thou fathers and mothers in their households, the mothers to bring up the children day by day, and the fathers also, and also in the maintaining of the households. For thou alone can give the blessing out of heaven that we so depend upon. Look upon our youth. Look upon our children. When Satan does desire their hearts, that thou thyself would keep and watch over and protect them, and that thou may look on our school also and all that is coming against it. Remember the judges that still must make their decision. Lord, that thou thyself may guide their hearts and their minds together, and that thou may thyself lead them, and that thou would grant the fear of thy name to our rulers, to our judges in the year to come, that thou would put away the devices of the prince of darkness, and that thou wouldst bless our land with a returning to thy law and to thy testimonies. Leave us not to go in our own way, but wilt thou look also upon us as a congregation, as a denomination, when we do gather from week unto week, and when we are together in thy house of prayer. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou wouldst give thy presence here, and that thou wouldst be feelingly and believingly in the midst of us, to go before in the speaking and in the reading, and to go before also in the hearing. For we can direct men to their duty, but we cannot give that blessing that thou alone art able to give. For it is a one-sided work, O Lord. Everything that must come from thee, it begins with thee, it ends with thee, it is upheld by thee. And if it was not all from thy side, then it would all be destroyed by us, and there would not one of us be saved. That thou wouldst then come, and that thou wouldst do for us and for our children and what we cannot do for ourselves. O break thou our hard and stony hearts, and draw our hearts away from all that is vain, worldly, sensual, and perishing. And O draw us unto that substance, that treasure that may be in heaven. O that our hearts may be there in the year to come, where Christ does sit on the right hand of judgment, that there our thoughts may dwell, as we do all the labors of our hands in our homes, in our places of labor in this world, that our hearts may be drawn unto the true and to the living God, and that thou may grant thy indispensable blessing to both young and old alike, that thou may give unto the old people that are in Bethesda or in their own homes, those that are afflicted and sick, what is necessary for the mind and for the body, for thou knowest each and every one and the frailties thereof. Oh, that thou may give in this year to come strength, but wilt thou also, when the days of death do draw nigh, that thou wouldst take away that sting,
that thou wouldst give as a Simeon of old, that there may be a welcoming of a friend which had been an enemy, that thou wouldst thyself reveal thy dear and thy only, thy beloved Son. Oh, that he may become precious unto each and every one, that death may become for us a friend, and that we may look forward yet to that day when we shall be released from this land of bondage, where sin does weigh us down, and when carnality does make us cleave unto the dust. Oh, could it be a year of great profit for the soul of young and old, that there may be an advancing in the way of grace and in the life of thy children, going from resting place unto resting place on the way unto Zion. Lord, we do not deserve it. Thou knowest all our hearts and all our lives. For we are carnal, we are sensual, we are sold under sin. But thou art God alone, and thou art able in thy mercy to look upon us for the sake of thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased. Oh, is not everything paid already? Oh, look thou upon that accursed tree upon which thy Son has hung. Oh, that thou may look upon him, and that thou wouldst receive us in him and through him, that all our sin may be washed away, that we may be cleansed, that we may be made new people, that we may mortify our flesh, and that thou may receive all the honor and all the glory. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou wouldst do it for thy great name's sake, and that thou wouldst glorify thyself in the year to come in the midst of us as a congregation. Look upon us as a denomination. Could it please thee to increase the number of thy truly sent servants? O that thou, in the year to come, and may gladden us with thy deeds. Wilt thou give thy truth to prevail amongst us when there is so much that is there to break it down, that our children should no longer hear that unadulterated truth? But wilt thou preserve it as thou hast done amongst us for so many years, that thou wouldst give those who are truly wrought upon, who are truly converted by thee, and that thou wouldst draw them also to the preaching of thy holy word? For many are the vacant pulpits, and many are the unconverted souls, and thy people, they are as sheep that have no shepherd. O Lord, could it please thee then to bind it upon the hearts of those whom thou hast chosen, that they may give their life unto such a work? Remember also the need for teachers in our schools. Wilt thou bind that need also upon the hearts of our youth? And that there may also be those, especially of our young men, that may give themselves to that most worthy work, that there may be those who may stand before our rising generation in the years that lie before them. O Lord, that thou may take a look upon us. Thou art high, thou art in the heavens, but thy thoughts, they also go unto the lowest of this earth. And thou knowest all of our needs better than we can lay them before thee. O, remember us then, and do it for thy great and thy holy name's sake. Remember us as a congregation when we hope in the year to come to begin to build a new sanctuary. O Lord, that thou wouldst bless us. Thou hast made it well thus far in all the intention, and thou hast opened the hearts and the hands. But wilt thou also bring it to fruition, and wilt thou remember us together? Lord, be with us in this morning. Do grant us strength for our labor, and do give us the unction of thy Spirit. Fill this house. Fill this house with thy presence, with thy Holy Spirit, and that we may be converted unto thee. Forgive thou, O take away, and do wash away and cast into that sea of everlasting forgetfulness all of our iniquity, all our transgressions, and all our sins against thee, in and for the sake of thy dear and thy most beloved Son, in whom thou art well pleased, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 1 all the stanzas, and there is only one collection today, and that is for the mission. Psalter number 1, that man is blessed who, fearing God, from sin restrains his feet, who will not stand with wicked men, who shuns the scorner's seat. All the stanzas of Psalter number 1. beloved congregation, it is only by the long-suffering and the goodness of the Lord that we may be brought to begin a new year together. We as creatures in this world are ignorant about the future. We do not know what this new year will bring. We do wish to extend to you as a consistory our desire, our wish for the most blessed blessings that can come from heaven. The blessings of the Lord Himself, both for temporal and for spiritual things. Maybe there are things that we are looking forward to in the year to come. As a congregation, then we hope to begin to build a new sanctuary, perhaps as families. Then there are other things. Maybe children, you look forward to the birth of a brother or sister, or something else, maybe a wedding, young people, a business, maybe growth, maybe expansion. They are all blessings from the Lord. And then there are, in the midst of those blessings, burdens. They are left there. They are sicknesses. They are sorrows. They are cares in the midst of this world. And the Lord, He leaves those there for a reason, for a purpose. They are to remind us of our origin. They are to remind us of our sin. They are to make our heart to be not so connected to the things of the time and sense, that our hearts and minds may be drawn up and away unto Himself. Thus are there also desires in our hearts for higher blessings in the year to come. Are there desires for blessings for your own soul? It is a pity that also on the side of God's own people that there can be so much laxity and deadness, not of state, but of condition. And may the Lord give in this year a reviving of the work of His own hands in the midst of the years, and much spiritual fruit upon the vine of His church. And may He give that there may be also new buds. Little buds, you know what they are, children, right? In the springtime, then when you go out and you see that the leaves, they are just beginning to come, well, you see the little buds, that little growth, that new growth. And then we hope that there may also be among us the new buds, both among young and old, upon the vine of that true church of God. What is then the task of the minister in this? Well, as a minister, then we are called to choose the means from Sabbath to Sabbath that may be for the bringing forth of those new buds, and that may be for the nourishing, the watering of that vine of the church. That we need to be guided in this. Will you ask the Lord for this every Sabbath again, and not only for our strength, but also for the leading of the Lord, that it may be for your own spiritual welfare? And yet there is guidance also for us in the Word of God. Because we read in the Word of God, Jude, he writes, that of some We must have compassion, making a difference, he says. Others, he says, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Thus, different means that are required that there may be fruit in the house of the Lord. We have tried to lay before you a little about Simeon. Why? Because we thought, will that now draw the hearts of our congregation? When there are fears, many fears that live in the heart of each and every one, and fear especially of that last enemy of death, and when they may now hear something of how that death, that may be made a friend instead of an enemy, well, maybe that will draw the hearts of young and old to seek after this great blessing. Did it have that fruit? Were there those that have gone home? Were there those who have considered? Were there those who have gone upon their knees to say, O Lord, could it now be also for me, and that I may live in such a way, and that I may also die in such a way? Must you say no? Did not draw me at all. The Lord, he says, there is another sign. He says, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, that you may be as a brand that is plucked out of the burning. And thus there are also on the other side warnings in the Word of God and also in the Word of our text. For this morning hour, as we consider Acts 24 and thereof the 25th verse. Acts 24, verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. So far, the words of our text. Felix's fatal error. First, a trembling conscience. Second, a dangerous postponement. And third, a broken and unfulfilled promise. Felix's fatal error. First, a trembling conscience. Second, a dangerous postponement. And third, a broken or an unfulfilled promise. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, who is doing that? That is Paul. He is standing before Felix. He is the Roman procurator of Judea. Felix, he is a heathen man. But we read here that he had more perfect knowledge of that way. Thus, he is a heathen. He is a Gentile. And yet, he had some knowledge of this way. That is the way of the Jewish people. How did he get that knowledge? Well, he is married to one of them. He is married to a Jewess. That is his third wife. She is a very young girl. But she is a whorish young girl, even though she is a Jew. Must that be said of you, girls, that the testimony that you set in the midst of this world, for the heathen people, for the people that are on the outside, is such a wicked testimony, as we can read of this girl. Her name is Drusilla. She is the daughter of Herod Agrippa. You know that he was eaten of worms. She was the niece of that Herod that we read in God's Word who had slain John the Baptist. She was very young. She was only 15 years old when she was married for the first time. But she has left her first husband. Why? Well, she was apparently a very beautiful young girl. And Felix, he has lured her away from her husband so that she has left her first husband and that she has married this heathen man, this Felix. She is a sister to Bernice, who we read has married to King Agrippa. Thus, Paul, he is standing here before this Felix and this Drusilla. Why? Well, we read that Felix has sent for him. Why? Because he must come into judgment? Because he must come into the court? No, that is going to follow. Because Felix, he would like to have more witnesses, so he is waiting. We can read that he is waiting for Lysias, who was the chief captain. We can read that the orator, he has spoken of this Lysias, and now Felix waits for this Lysias to come down. But in the meantime, we read that Felix, he sends for Paul. And why? That was to hear him concerning the faith in Christ. Thus he wants him to speak about his religion. He wants him to speak about the Lord. He wants him to speak about the Lord Jesus. He wants him to speak about faith in the Lord Jesus and what it is about that people that makes that people a peculiar people. Why does he want to hear this? Well, we do not read why he wants to hear this. Do you want to hear that too? Why do you want to hear this? We cannot believe that it was such a good intention that Felix has. But why do you come up and why will you come up under that word of God, Sabbath after Sabbath? In the year to come, will there be a desire in your heart to hear of that faith in Christ? Will you say, O Lord, wilt thou teach me also that faith? Wilt thou lead me in it from step to step? And wilt thou give that I may not deceive myself in that faith? As thy word says, many are doing in this world. Thus, what is our intention? Do we have a desire that the Lord may make a distinction, that there may be distinctions also in the preaching, and that we ourselves may be pointed out, and that we may be led upon the right way, the honest way, the narrow way that leadeth unto life? Why does Felix, he asks after this faith in Christ to be heard? Oh, does Drusilla have a speaking conscience, maybe? You have a speaking conscience? Because that Paul, that is of her own nation, and he is put into prison, he is put into hold here by Felix. Does she therefore desire that conscience may be somewhat quieted? We do not know. Regardless, Felix and Drusilla, they now ask for Paul to speak concerning that faith in Christ. And then they hear a message. that they do not appreciate. What do we read? Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Thus he reasons about righteousness. What is that, children? Righteousness? What is the word you hear in it? Right. Right. What is right and what is wrong? That is what righteousness has to do with. Right and wrong. Do you care? Are you concerned about what is right and wrong? Are you concerned when you go into a new year that you will do before the Lord, not just before men, not just before the eyes of your father, the eyes of your mother, but before the eyes of the Lord who go in every place in the whole world? Is there a concern in your heart that you will do in this year only that which is right? Felix was not concerned about this at all. He has stolen another man's wife. Drusilla is not concerned with this at all. That is a whorish girl. She is living here in adultery. And Paul, what does he do? He is standing before his judge. The man who is soon going to judge him, and what is going to be his sentence that is going to come out of the judgment of that man. And Paul, when he speaks to Felix, then you say, well, Paul, be careful. Be careful, because you want not to make him angry at you. You must speak smooth words to this man, because you need the favor of that man so that you will be released. And what does Paul do? His eyes, we read in the Bible, they look straight on. He is honest. And he brings before Felix and Drusilla the unadulterated word of God. And he reasons with them about righteousness. About temperance. What is temperance? That is self-control. Thus, the ability to master ourselves, the ability to master our own desires, the sensual appetites. Felix is not a stranger of this, because that is now the pride of the heathen philosophers, temperance, how to keep under the body. Felix also has no use for this. That is a man who has completely forsaken all virtue. He has chosen a different life. Have you chosen a different life, two young people, with Felix? Forsaken all virtue? Is it your intention in this year to go in a path that is contrary to the law of the Lord? Paul reasons about righteousness, about temperance. Oh, Felix, he thought maybe that this faith in Christ was a little something different. He thought maybe he would receive a little comfort out of this faith in Christ. He thought maybe that that would be for the settling of his conscience. But he hears something so different. And then Paul, he goes further, because he reasons also about judgment to come. Thus, he speaks about the judgment day. He says that there is a day of reckoning coming. He says that there is a day that you will have to give, Felix and Drusilla, a day that you have to give an account, that there is coming a day that you will have to stand before your judge. You have a creator, you have a maker, you have obligations, you have duties. There is a law, There is a curse. There is a sentence. There is punishment. There is eternal death. And he reasons about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Faith in Christ. Is that not what Paul and Drusilla wanted to hear about? They wanted to hear about faith in Christ. Tell us, Paul, something about that faith in Christ. And Paul, he begins to reason about righteousness, about temperance, and judgment to come. Oh, how many people in our day, they say, Paul, Paul, you must preach the gospel. You must draw that man. You must speak about the love of God. You must do it so different. And Paul, what does Paul say? Paul, he says, the law that is the schoolmaster. The law is the schoolmaster unto Christ. What is a schoolmaster, children? The schoolmaster was one who took the hand of the boys and girls, brought them from their homes, and brought them to school. They led them to school. Schoolmaster. Thus, the law is the schoolmaster unto Christ. That is why Paul begins here. He will lead them there, not in falsehood, not daubing them with an untempered mortar, but beginning in the beginning, where there may be room in their hearts for that blessed mediator, a need born within. Oh, do we ask for this? That there may be truth in our hearts, that there may be sincerity in our hearts, that there may be a place in our heart in this year to come for him who was born in that stable that laid in that manger. What do we read of Felix? We read that he trembles. He trembles. When Paul is reasoning of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, that Felix trembles. Did you ever tremble? Did you ever tremble under the preaching of the law of God? It has been laid out to us, Sabbath after Sabbath, only lately, from commandment to commandment. Question, in your life, how long is that life now? In your life, under every sermon that you have heard, under every reading of the Word of God, did you once ever tremble before the law of God? At the thought of your judge? No? Then you are worse than Felix. Because at least Felix, he trembled. And surely we have nothing more than a historical faith, because even temporary faith that sometimes trembles. But it is that historical faith that can say, yes, I believe it. Yes, it is true. And it sits unmoved under the preaching of the law and of the gospel. It is such a wonder if we may once tremble. If we may once tremble, if there may be some entrance of that word of God, even into our conscience, the minister is glad when he sees trembling. Why? Does he desire that there may be discomfort? No, but this is now the way. Oh, that trembling that comes before that rejoicing comes. Thus it is the way to rest. It is the way to peace. No, we may not lay hands on that trembling people. Why not? Because it is not sufficient. It is not enough. Our fathers, they say, can still go two ways yet. Even the devil, we read in God's word, he trembles. He believes and he trembles. And we see that in our second thought. There is here also a dangerous postponement, and as he reasoned, of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Why does Felix tremble? Felix perceives truth in what Paul says. He must. Because if we do not perceive it to be true, we do not tremble. We cannot make ourselves tremble. We tremble because we perceive it to be true. But just because we perceive it to be true does not mean that we choose that truth. Go thy way. What is it? Why is it? He perceives the truth of it, but he pushes it away. Why is that? Well, we must not only know the truth, we also have to receive in our heart a love for that truth. We also have to receive in our heart a desire to walk after that truth, and by nature, we have neither of these two things. And there is more. Because do you know what we do not read? We do not read that Drusilla trembled. How often is that the case? Of a person who is hardened under religion, who has heard it so many times in their life. Paul, he puts his finger on the sore. And Drusilla's heart, that is as hard as a rock. And then she sees Felix. She sees Felix trembling. And she says, "No, no, 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 no. No, 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 you cannot tremble." Why not? Because you may not receive an impression by this. Why? Because you may not turn from your sin. Because I do not want to go back unto my first husband. Go thy way. Oh, what kind of influence did Drusilla have upon Felix? That Drusilla would say to him, that he would say unto Paul, "Go thy way." Eve, she was the instrument for the downfall of Adam. Go thy way for this time. Oh, he does not send him away for always. He does not say, "I do not want to see you anymore." That is not his intention. Remember that he perceives truth in the words of the Apostle Paul. He will only send him away for this time, for the present time, because this time, the present time, that is not the most convenient time for me. The present time is not the most fit time. This time, right now, is not the most appropriate time. There are other things that I have to think about. There are other things right now that I have to do. Today I have other commitments. At the present time, I cannot be trembling. At the present time, I cannot have troubling thoughts because right now I need to be able to do my work. I need to be able to go forward. So right now, that is not a good time that I would be thinking, that I would be meditating upon those things that are disturbing my peace. Right now, I cannot bear to leave the path that I am traveling. That decision is too hard. The pain that is too great. The consequences, if I would leave this now, no. Those consequences, I cannot bear them. I cannot deal with those consequences right now. Go thy way for this time. No, it is not an outward rejection altogether, but it is only a postponement. But it is a very dangerous postponement. But let us sing first. Psalter 72, stanzas 1 and 2. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye, and seek my face, my heart, and lips their answer speak. Thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. 1 and 2 of Psalter 72. Way for this time, we say a dangerous postponement. Why? Because of our third thought, a broken or an unfulfilled promise. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. That is the promise of Felix. I will call for thee. To whom did he promise that? Say to Paul? Yes. But more so, he promised that unto himself. Why? That his conscience may be settled. If it was now a matter of either we do it now or never, then the temptation to say no, that would not be so great. But postponement, that is much easier. Why? Because postponement, that is not so final. We don't say never. We just say later. But do you know what we do not read? We never read that Felix came back on that promise. Never. We don't read of him anymore. Why did he not come back on it? We don't know. Probably he never had a desire to come back on it. But if he did, he maybe never had the opportunity to call for Paul again. Of Drusilla we do read. In the history of Josephus, we can read about her end. You know what her awful end was? You ever read, young people, about that volcano in Italy, that Mount Vesuvius and the eruption of Mount Vesuvius and the destruction of Pompeii? Well, Drusilla, she apparently fled too late. She did not believe that the danger was so great. She waited too long, and she was buried under that lava of Mount Vesuvius with her son. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. We are permitted to enter into a new year. We are permitted to enter together into a new season. What are your thoughts about the convenience of this season? The convenience of this season to hear of that faith in Christ. Do we say with Paul, go thy way for this time. Go thy way for this season. Do you know what is the most deceitful aspect of our pushing away the Word of God? What is the most deceitful aspect of this? It is that promise to ourselves that we are going to come back to it later at a more convenient season. Our conscience that does not permit us to reject that word altogether. Why not? because we perceive a certain truth in it. But we postpone. And we do not condemn ourselves for postponing. Why? Because we say, I have an upright desire for it to be prosecuted in the future. But what is it? That postponement. That is nothing but a love for sin. It is nothing but a love for vanity. It is nothing but a desire to continue in our way. We say, oh Lord, convert me. But not yet. Not yet. Why? A little longer. In the enjoyment of my bosom sin. A little longer in the enjoyment of my heart's delight. Go thy way, not altogether, not forever. Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Indeed, some seasons, they are more convenient than other seasons. What do you think about the convenient season? Do you think, children, it will be a more convenient season when you are older? Do you ever watch your father and your mother? How many cares that are laying upon them from early morning until late at night? Do you really believe that that is a more convenient season? Do you believe, fathers and mothers, that it will be a more convenient season than when you are retired? When things, they are not so busy anymore. But open your eyes and see what is happening with the minds of those who have become old. Do you believe it will be a more convenient season when you are lying on your sickbed? You say, I cannot work then anyway. I cannot play then anyway. I have time then. A man in the hospital, did you ever look at him? Did you ever go visit him? And did you ever feel something of his pain? Of his suffering? And do you think that that is now a more convenient season? Do you know what it says? The Lord Jesus, he taught his disciples to pray. And what came first? The prayer for daily bread or for the forgiveness of sins? Say, first for daily bread. Why? Is that more important than the forgiveness of our sins? No. But it is necessary unto it, then it is not a more convenient season. And when our body, when our mind that is suffering, when we are lying upon our deathbed, when all kinds of medicines, they are clouding our thoughts, what do? When we look for a more convenient season than we are hoping upon tomorrow. But all that hope upon tomorrow, they are hoping upon a spider's web because we are not promised a tomorrow. Indeed, there is a more convenient season. What does the Bible say about the most convenient season? That says, today. Today. If ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today, what is today? Today is before that the sun goes down upon us. That is what the Lord says is the most convenient season. What does he say is the most convenient season, young people? He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come, the days wherein there shall be no desire. The most convenient season, we read, seek ye the Lord while that he may be found. Is that not now the most convenient season? Thus, according to the holy word of God, every voice that is living in us, and it lives in all of us, every voice that lives in us that says tomorrow, 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 that is a voice that comes out of hell. Tomorrow never comes. You say, well, must I then not do my work? Must I sit and read the Bible then all day long? Oh, children, be careful. Be careful. What you say. The Bible that says 6 days shalt thou labor. We must labor. We must do all our work. But where is your heart? Where is your heart? The Lord, he says, today, today to do what? Well, he says, you stop today. Today you consider. Today you think about where you have come from. Today you think about where you are going. Maybe while you're doing all of your labors in this world. Oh, today, he says, remember that you have a Creator. Remember that you have a Maker. Today. Today, remember that you are created with a purpose in this world. Oh, today. Today, consider what the Bible says about your defilement, about your sin, about your corruption. Oh, today. Will you not do that now before that the sun goes down upon us today, because we do not know whether we may do this now tomorrow? To look upon ourselves, to look and to see whether that corruption that the scriptures that is speaking about is really true. That all that iniquity, that rebellion, does that truly live within my own heart? Oh, today, will you not promise the Lord today, children? Will you not promise him on the first day of this year, oh, that you will not live anymore in sin? Will you not promise him that you will walk in that narrow way that leadeth unto life? I cannot give myself. Oh, no, you cannot give it to yourself, but you cannot find out that you live a life of rebellion until that you have promised the Lord that you will live a life that is according to his word. Oh, will you not do this? Will you not do this today? Will you not say on your knees today in your secret chamber, oh Lord, draw me. Draw me unto thyself. Lord, teach me. Oh Lord, wilt thou make walls in front of me? When I want to go in the wrong way, wilt thou put a wall before me that I cannot go in my way, that I will have to go only in thy way? Will you do this? Will you do this today before that the sun goes down? Oh, Felix, he was brought so close, trembled. And when we are trembling, then we are so close. Do you ever tremble? Conscience speak? In that moment, do you know how close the Lord is? How very, very close the Lord is? And what do you do when that conscience is speaking and the Lord, he is right, right near to you? Push that away? Oh, that is so dangerous. That is so very, very dangerous. In that moment, you must go on your knees. In that moment, you must beseech the Lord. Say, Lord, do not go away from me. Say, Lord, bring me. Bring me into the right way. Bring me to thy footstool. And do not just promise to yourself that someday you will come back to it. Because you will not. Because you will not. It is nothing but a lie. It is nothing but deceit out of hell. Congregation, may the Lord watch over us. There is a season before us. We don't know what it is. What will it bring? It is laying before us. From our side, what will we do with it? Do not waste that season. It is a most convenient season. Apostle says, exhort one another. Exhort one another while it is called today, lest any of you should be hardened under the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, may the Lord in this season bless his word. May the Lord in this season bless the callings that are coming unto us and prevent us from working out our own destruction, and give that we may each young and old enter into that kingdom of God. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, a most convenient season, blessings multiplied in overabundance over all the ages of the world, over all the countries of the world, medicines, doctors, health, strength, prosperity. Oh, a most convenient season, thy word brought, read, preached, O Lord, come thou. If thou leavest us, we do as Felix. But oh, make it different by thy grace to young and old. That is thy work. Bless thy word. That which may draw, that which may drive, and bring us all into thy kingdom. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Keep us in this day. Keep us in this week. We lay before thee once more him that is to receive surgery. Wilt thou be near unto him? Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter number 7, and afterwards we ask the congregation to please remain seated. On the good and faithful, God has set his love. When they call, he sends them blessings from above. Psalter 7, all the stanzas. Thank you.
Reverend Den Hollander. Also, on behalf of the consistory, on behalf of the congregation, we wish to say a few words in the beginning of this new year. Then again, as you have said this morning, the duty and the responsibilities are great, that we may have the Lord's word time and time again, and that also you are able to bring that word. And then we have seen in the couple of weeks, a couple of days past, where we commemorated Christmas, there was a waiting church, and that fulfillment came, a fulfillment in the King of the church. We heard about Simeon, who was waiting for that salvation, and then also he received that fulfillment, and again it was that King of the church. And then we stand in the beginning of this year, and I thought to say a few words, and then it is on Psalm 40, a psalm of David, a messianic psalm. It points to the King of the church, again, to all the work, all the labors, it lies all in the Lord's hand. And then it says, David, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. When we stand in the beginning of a year, then we could say it is almost a waiting. What shall the year bring? What shall it bring us? We know what lies behind us, and then we may see that the Lord has often given his help. We've also experienced difficulties. We've experienced daily his help and his need, that we need him in all things. And then David may say, I waited patiently for the Lord, and then he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And then, that can be many things, that miry clay, that pit. We know your health is not the greatest. You have your weakness. You have your difficulty, and also that is a burden to you. And then also herein we may see that we may lay that before the Lord, that he also may set your feet upon that rock, and that rock is Christ. And then we may see that he may give you strength in that. And that he may also take away that weakness and that sickness of the body, and that you may do your labors. I know that is the desire of your heart, the wish of your heart, but then it is also in these ways that we must ask the Lord and seek the Lord for that, and that he can grant that. But then we come actually to what I was going to say. And then he says, and he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And there, what a blessing if that may now be the case. I know you have expressed it many a time that the Lord would show more of his ways, that he would open his ways more of what he has done, and also for bringing his word in the midst of the congregation. And then I don't mean to say that you do not bring the full counsel, because that is not true. We know that, right? You do bring the full counsel. But there is so much more that you know and you desire for yourself also, that the Lord would open up to you in his work, in his dealings, how he has led his people. And then if that would be the case, then in this year, what a blessing would that then be? What a great year would that then also be? And what does that then say? It says he had put a new song in my mouth. And before it comes to the mouth, where does it come? It comes in the heart. And then it is a personal blessing. Then it is a personal grace before it shall come in the mouth. And then we hope that the Lord may grant, and that we may yet ask that also of the Lord, that you may now have a season where you may wait patiently upon the Lord also with the horrible pit, the miry clay, but that it may also now bring that a new song may yet be put in your mouth, and then that new song that comes in the heart, and then it may also come upon the pulpit. Then it shall also be in the midst of the congregation. And that would be then the greatest blessing we can have. That is the dealings of the Lord with his church through his servants. What a blessed year would that be in all things. Then there is nothing on us, there's nothing on man's side. But then it becomes so the Lord's work. And that is the psalm that we have here in front of us. It is all the Lord's work. That it may personally, that it may yet be a blessed psalm for you, and that those blessings may yet be granted unto you. Also to Mrs. Den Hollander, many labors you do together with your wife in the midst of the congregation. May that also be your blessing for your family, and that he may strengthen you, help you in all these ways, and that also in this way you may receive a blessing for your soul. And then congregation, it says further. It says, then he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And that is then what may yet, if the Lord will grant it. And that is what we wish for our minister, that he may grant it. But then it says, many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Many shall see and fear. Many. May it yet be that many in our midst may hear that, and that fear may yet be granted. Because that is not a fear that makes us tremble in a way, but that is a fear that makes us fear before the Lord. That grace may yet be granted unto us. And that would be then the greatest blessing than what we have heard in this morning. Felix trembled, but it was not a trembling to salvation. But then it shall be a fear, then we shall fall on the side of the Lord, and the Lord shall receive all the honor and all the glory. And then it shall be a trusting in the Lord, a trusting in it in the season we need. Because what are we in for the season? We know much comes against it, much comes against the church, against the family, we name it. We don't have to go into that, but that there now may yet be a fear, a trusting in the Lord, and that we may yet see that. And then we shall see also, it says that in the fifth verse, many, O Lord thy God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word. Then we may yet see what it is, all in the Lord's hand. It is all his work, and it is only his doings to his honor and to his glory, that we may yet see then that there is nothing there that we deserve, but may it yet then be, and that it may yet flow forth out of the heart, that we may yet seek in all these things the Lord's honor, the Lord's glory, and then it shall yet, he will never disappoint. I hope you may have a season like that, Reverend Den Hollander. Much blessing, much opening granted in his word. And that it may yet be a delight for you to may do this work in our midst. And what else can we say? Let us then close, and that we will do standing in the place of the doxology. And then we will sing from Psalter 44 and thereof the second and the third stanza. Oh, let him send his help to thee forth from his holy place. Let him from Zion, his own hill, sustain thee by his grace. That is our prayer.
Thank you, Mr. Moons, for your kind words. We'd also like to use this opportunity to thank you as a congregation for your bearing up under us under this way and for all of your support. And we hope that we may receive that blessing that was wished in the year to come. Let us now close. Let us receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.